What?
Hey, everybody, Ron here. We're going to start in about, maybe 1 minute or so. So get something to write on if you don't have it right now. And also, if you have any noises around you, get rid of them. If you got any screaming children, put them out. Nagging wives, put them out. Dogs barking, put them out. And when I get through here with my stuff, I'm going to open it up for questions. And I'm going to try to keep the mic open, which is why I would not like to have any background noises so I don't have to shut it down. Just give me another minute or so for people to get on here, and we're going to get going.
There you go.
All right, here we go. If you're on this call, that means you're registered for the commercial boot camp coming up. And congratulations for doing that, because you're really going to be excited when you leave this thing. I know, I've been to it before, and it's really exciting stuff. So I want you to come prepared. So the purpose of this call is to go over what I would like for you to bring in a way of lead flow. Because we will be spending some time working on your projects that you bring. And frankly, that's the most fun part of this whole thing for me. And that means you're going to have to do some writing here. And while I'm thinking about it, let me open this in case you want to be doing this right now while I'm talking. There are property information sheets. Somebody's rustling paper in the background. Please stop so I don't have to mute everybody out. RonLegrand.com/ CPIS, that's Commercial Property Information Sheets, CPIS, RonLegrand.com/CPIS. If you'll go there, somebody's still playing with their toys in the background. Go there. You'll find all the property information sheets, and they are clearly labeled. One of them is land, and one of them, I got land, I got multifamily, I got mobile home parks and RV parks and so forth. You're probably going to need at least two of them, depending on what kind of leads you want to bring. But if you want to go there now and peek at them, you'll see what I'm talking about when I get into the point that I need the property information sheets brought with the stuff that you're going to bring me on the leads. So, first, if you haven't registered a guest yet, and you're going to bring one, make sure you get that done, because you can't just have walk-ins. We're going to have a full house at this event. If you paid to be there, or if you're a master and you got it for as part of your package, you can still bring a guest at no charge, but not an unannounced guest. And that guest has to be in your family or in your business, or they're not in the group that we are allowing you to bring for free. Now, it's going to be a three-day event. And it's going to be full court press the entire time. And I'm teaching all of it, except I'm bringing my friend Lance Edwards in to talk about small apartments for a little piece of it. And there's nothing I'd like better than to have you guys leaving with some prospects that you can work, or if you want to, you can work with me. I am going to be looking for some partnership deals, and I'll tell you how when I get there. But just know that you're not in this alone if you need help. So let's start with what I would like to see you bring, and what I need when you bring it. And before I get into that, please understand, I'm already aware that most of the leads you bring aren't going to be worth a crap. So get over it, and don't punish yourself. You're coming here to learn this stuff, but I think it's just as well that you learn what not to mess with and how to pre-screen stuff quickly. So I'm not counting on you to bring kick-butt deals. I'm counting on you to bring stuff that might look like deals based on what you know now and based on what I'm about to tell you. I don't want anybody to feel bad because you bring it to class and I show you why the deal won't work. I think you all would agree that's just as important for you to know. All right, so let's start with land. I love land. Vacant land, and I like it because there's almost no work for me to do. There certainly is no physical labor involved. There's very little risk involved, and there's a huge amount of money involved. Somebody's rustling paperwork. Am I going to have to mute this thing out, or can I count on you guys to stop? Just sit still, silent, and listen. Don't try to do anything while I'm talking. All right, and I'm trying to leave it open for Q&A at the end without muting you out. So when I say land, in fact, I am doing a whole seminar on land during the commercial boot camp. It's the first time I've ever done it. In fact, it comes with its own manual, and I think you're going to be excited about land as well. You know, some of you know about a couple projects I'm working on now here in Jacksonville, but, gee, just within the last few days, I've acquired two more projects on vacant land, and all four of these projects were brought to me by students, so they're all have student partners in them. Let me give you an example of one that just was brought in 2 days ago while we were having a mastermind meeting here. It's 29 acres in Indiana, and there's a house on it, and we have it under contract with owner financing, and it's zoned agricultural. So all we're going to do is go ahead and buy on it after we do the due diligence, and of course I'm putting up the money there and owner financing it, and then we're simply going to rezone it. And it looks like it's going to be rezoned from farmland to four houses per acre. And I'll just tell you, that'll take the value of that land, what we paid for it, and at least minimum double it and probably triple it or quadruple it just by getting it rezoned. And then we're just going to list it with a broker and sell it and be done with it and get out of it and make a bunch of money. That is my favorite land play. I'm doing one here in Jacksonville with 14 acres. I bought it for $215 at a tax deed sale. And I already got it in zoning. In fact, it's getting close to the end. And I hired an appraiser here, and that appraiser says that after it's rezoned to commercial, which is its highest best use, that piece of land is worth $1.8 million. I'll run them numbers by you again. $215 purchase, $1.8 million value. I think that'll probably work in your computer as well. Am I right?
Am I right? Yeah, right. Indeed.
Well, these are the kind of land deals that I like. So let me talk about what land. I don't want to go crazy. Don't be bringing me in 500 acres of land. I don't want you guys to come in with deals that are just very, very large deals that would be very difficult for us to get funded. I'd rather focus on some small deals here, small deals like the one I just told you about, which, you know, for most people aren't small deals. I'm not interested in building a city. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not interested in building anything. My developing days are over. I'm not building anything. I'm not developing anything. I just want to make the money and let somebody else take all the risk and do all that work. In fact, I'll show you why I feel that way when I show you some of the projects that I had pre-2008, and timing destroyed everything. So let's make some money, and let's make it with little or no risk, and let's make it easy and not do everything hard. And that requires vacant land that is, I don't know, maybe 10 acres and up. I'd rather have it around 25, 30, 50, 100 acres. But I really don't, I mean, I'll take land over 100 acres, guys and gals, but don't bring me any huge, monstrous parcels that'll take forever to even get through the city and require all kinds of stuff that the smaller parcels don't. All right, now I'm working on a 14-acre, a 13-acre, a 29-acre, and a 35-acre. And I like those areas. I like those price ranges because we can figure out how to get them funded. And that is my job, and that's part of the thing you're going to learn at the event, is how to structure these things so that they can get funded. And that's multiple different ways. You'll leave with a book that'll go through that list. Now, when I say land, again, I want land that we can increase the value of. So if it's in the path of progress, and let's don't do anything if it's not in the path of progress. I'm not interested in being out in the middle of the wilderness anywhere. We have to be in the path of progress. In other words, there has to be a use for this land immediately. We're not buying land to sit on it for years. We're not land speculators. We're buying land that needs somebody with the knowledge to turn it around, make it worth more, and then simply flip it. And that's what we do. At least that's as far as I'm going to be in the deal with you. If you guys want to bring some deals and we work them together, great. You can buy me out. If you've got this building disease, I don't care. You can just take me out. All right. Anyway, vacant land. I prefer agricultural land, zone with low zoning, farmland, agricultural land, because it usually is turned into residential land where you can build X number of houses per acre, generally four, and that just raises the value through the roof. However, if that land is so far away from civilization, it really doesn't have an immediate use. So just keep that in mind. Is this land in the path of progress? Got it? Make that note. Must be somewhere where some movement is going on. Okay. It can be already zoned residential, but maybe we can find a way to zone it at a higher density and make it worth more. Just know this. The more units you can put on an acre of land, the more that acre is worth. And it's really that simple. Higher the density, the higher the value. Or maybe it's zoned residential and it's near commercial. Maybe the best use of it is commercial, not residential, because there's commercial close by. Guys, please.
No.
No conversations in the background. If you want to talk, you're on the wrong call. Or I'll have to mute. So I've had many projects where the land was already zoned residential, but, you know, right beside it is a strip center or a block down is a strip center, and maybe the best use is residential. And I got to tell you, sometimes you'll find a piece of agricultural land that has a lot of road frontage. So we zone the back residential and we zone the front commercial. And that increases the value as well. So what you're looking for is land that is under zoned that we can change the zoning on. And it must be, I have to have the information on the property information sheet, or frankly, we're just guessing at everything. So look at the property information sheet and get me everything on it that you can possibly get me. Because the more you get me, the easier it is to decide what the next move is. And we have to be able to determine the approximate value of a piece of land. But we can't do that. I'm talking about after we zone it. But we can't do that unless we know what we're going to zone it to. For example, if I take a piece of farmland and I zone it to four houses per acre, which we're doing on two of them right now, okay, that farmland might cost $20,000 an acre. But once I zone it to where a developer can build four houses per acre, that same land could easily be worth $80,000 an acre. However, I don't know that unless I can determine what's going on around it, what would the highest use be. In other words, I got one right now that's right in the middle of two different subdivisions. On each side, it's a subdivision of houses. So it's pretty easy for us to decide what that land will be. But however, I told a student, now go back and find out what those houses are selling for, and the answer is about $250,000. So that tells me that a developed lot, and I'll teach you this, but a developed lot is probably worth somewhere around $40,000, $50,000, and sometimes more. So if a developer can get $50,000 times four out of an acre of land, that's $200,000, and you know he can buy that acre of land from us for $50,000-$60,000. Well, you can see where his profit margin is, and that's even before they even start building houses. So complete the property information sheet, but do everything you can to help me figure out what it'll be worth after it's rezoned, what you think is the best use for it. And I know you probably aren't going to be able to give me all these answers, so you know, just relax. But what I am going to need is an aerial photo of that property so we can see what's around it. You can get this off of Google. In other words, you can pull up maps off of Google. It literally will have it'll say Walmart. It'll say Publix. It's right there on the map when you're looking down. Obviously, if you got that kind of a track, we're going to be thinking commercial. Or you can look down, you can see a bunch of houses. So you know it's a subdivision. So just go down the sheet and get me all of the answers that you can. If you can't get them, then you can't get them. But the good news is any property you find on the web, most of that information is already posted anyway. Some of it isn't, but you can get right there off of the site. Now, you're going to find land from both FSBO and both listed. We're in both worlds. I don't mind listed properties. Good news is they do all that front-end work for you. And also good news is there's a buffer between you and the seller. Sometimes that's good. That's a plus for you. Bad news is we'll probably wind up paying more for it. So I'd much prefer FSBOs than I would MLS-listed properties. Problem with FSBOs is now you got to get this information as best you can, and you get a lot of it out of the seller, of course, which we don't trust any of until we verify it. But any way you look at it, I've got to know what's going on. And well, we need to do a lot of this due diligence before we even get ready to make an offer. So the more you can bring me, the better. Now, if you're listening to this, you've probably been trained by me already in residential, so you probably heard me pound on you that I don't need all that crap on the Internet. Just bring me the property information sheet. Well, I would say in this case, bring me the crap on the Internet. So bring me as much information as you can so I can glean from that. And then you'll learn what you need. You'll learn what you have to have to move the progress forward. That's the whole reason for this event. So before I go into other properties, does anybody have any questions on everything that I just covered? Anybody?
Yeah, Ron, I have a question. Is it hard to get a property rezoned? Or when do you do the rezoning? I guess you would look into that before you buy the property? Or
no. No. Well, of course, before you buy it. Oh, my God, yes. You're going to look into it before we make an offer on it. But looking into it means somebody's going to ask the city if we can take this land and put four houses an acre on it. I'm never going to do anything to fight the city. If the city don't want it, that ain't what we're going to do with it. So, but that's before we make an offer. But that's nothing more than asking the city or asking someone to ask the city for you. And then, don't worry, I got a due diligence list before we make an offer, and I got another one after we make an offer before we close. When we close on a piece of property, you can rest assured we're going to know everything there is to know about it,
okay.
Especially if it's my money involved. All right. Anybody?
I've got a question. Are you interested at all in vacant lots, like in the middle of town?
Absolutely. I am, if you can see a better use for them, or I am if you think the asking price is really low on it, because that's a real easy turnaround. Let's say you got a vacant lot, I don't know, besides some retail center or something. I'm more interested in them if they're not listed with a realtor, because the realtor is probably going to be asking retail price for it, and unlikely we're going to get a deal there. But I can tell you, look, I was working with a realtor not very long ago. I can't remember how many acres it was. I think it was 6 acres. Very highly developed area, very highly developed. And they were asking agricultural prices for it because that's what it was. So if I had to buy that through a realtor, knowing that I can get it zoned commercial and triple the value of it, then, you know, I would certainly move forward on that. And plus, many times we can get terms through these realtors from their sellers. People who are selling commercial property will quite often give you terms. And commercial brokers are a different breed of brokers than the ones you've been working with in residential. They have to be creative. I mean, their mindset is just not the same. So bring whatever you got, like I said. But just bring all the information you can get on it. And all right, any other questions on land?
I have a question. I have a couple questions.
Just a minute. Conversation in the background. Don't make me mute you. Go ahead.
Yes, my questions. One of them, I see a lot of buildings that are, had a fire, and they're vacant. Number two.
You're getting me into the building part now. That's next. Right now, it's about land.
Oh, all right.
Any more questions on land?
I guess not. Just any vacant land, basically, right? And then we just
What's it hurt to bring it?
As long as it's in a main area.
As long as there's civilization around it.
I was trying to give you this.
Right. Okay, thank you. I'll wait for the next part.
Ron, this is Ron Eccles. I'm unmuted myself, but somebody is not unmuted and making a lot of background noise, just so you know.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I can fix that because I can mute all of you, which will eliminate all this background chatter. I'm just kills me why people want to get on a conference call and then carry on a conversation with somebody else. I don't get it. All right. I'm going to mute all of you, but listen up now. If you hit, if you dial six, you're unmuting yourself only.
I'm trying to record.
Well, let's try it. I'm going to mute all of you. If you dial six, I can talk to you.
I think everything that you are.
Is that six or star six?
You're right. Sorry, star six. Here we go. Okay, you're all muted now. Boy, it is much quieter. Okay. So if you want to ask questions, you hit star six one time. All right.
Ron, besides the property information sheet, is there any other due diligence that we need to do as far as like the zoning and the zoning?
If you look at the property information sheet, all the due diligence you need to do is right on there.
Okay.
You're going to have to do some to be able to fill in the blanks.
Okay.
Okay. And, of course, I want to know what it's zoned. But, geez, anybody you're talking to with getting the facts will tell you that. And look, I don't want you guys to go crazy now and spend a bunch of time on checking things out. Just get me the answers on the back the best you can, and heck, half of them probably wrong anyway. But for the sake of class, I just want to take your information and let's first find out if it makes sense or not. If it does make sense, what would be the plan, and what do we see as the back end? And none of that's going to work out like we talk about in the class. But if we don't have some facts, and we have nothing to go with. So you're going to bring me a piece of property, and I'm going to start asking questions. You're going to say, I don't know. And I'm going to say, well, I don't know either. So when we get some more information, we can talk about it. So actually, good news, if you bring stuff, you might be able to get with one of us and find out what's missing and actually get those answers while we're in class. So I want you to do a little homework, but I don't want you to go spend hours and hours and hours trying to get information on these things that you don't even know if it's worth chasing or not yet. Okay? There are some key ingredients on that property information sheet that I know. Just remember this. I want to do everything I can to try to get to the ARV after zoned. Because if I can't do that, there's no way I can even make an offer on class unless we just make it up. And we might be doing some of that. And then we can get the facts later. All right. Any other questions on land? Remember, in order to get in, you have to hit star six.
Hey, Ron. Ron. How are you?
I heard a gentleman first. Then I heard, I think, a lady behind. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is Ed Middlebrooks. How are you?
Oh, Ed.
Hey.
Glad to see you.
Can't
coming.
Wait to see you in a little over a week here. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm absolutely registered. Can't wait to be there. Just a quick question. One of the things you talk about in land is you want to make sure that it's, I guess, not zoned the best use, and you want to make sure that it's in the path of progress. Do you have any quick looks or tools or anything like that that would give you indicators that it's within the path of progress?
Yes.
And I ask that question because I've moved to Land O'Lakes, and there seems to be development everywhere. But you never know when you're hitting a place that nobody wants to touch. So,
well, you never know anything until you make contact and get the facts. And that's where I'm going to caution you. Don't make assumptions. And don't even assume that because there's a realtor sign on it, we can't even buy it, because I bought a lot of them with realtor signs on it. But it starts with the facts. And now you're asking me where you're going to find the land. Well, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of websites, but I can tell you right now, loopnet.com is one of them, and that's probably the biggest commercial site there is, loopnet.com. There's a free version, and there's a paid version. You've got probably enough to do on the free version, but you just go in there, and you pull up that you want to look at the land in your area. And, oh, by the way, speaking of your area, please don't bring me land that's 1,000 miles away from you, and you have no idea who can do anything there. Let's start with where you're at. And then go from there. So there's plenty of land where you're at. And driving around looking for vacant land is a good thing. And looking on all the websites that you can find that have to do with land, I'm going to deliver a bunch of them to you. But, gosh, there are tons of them out there. But I'd start with LoopNet. And then just drive around and look for realtor signs on land. And there's a great app that we just discovered called Deal Machine. DealMachine.com. My friend Dave Lecko, which we just did a podcast with him. This thing cost either $49 or $99. There's three levels on it. Cheap app. You literally can get this app on your phone, stand in front of that property, any kind of property, and pull up the information on the seller, and then literally you can punch a button, it'll send them a postcard, or you can get their phone number and call them while you're standing in front of the property. DealMachine.com. Might want to investigate that. So drive around, look around, go on LoopNet, go on any, go on Google and say, I'm looking for land in wherever you're at, and see what comes up and go to those sites and just play around. And that'll give you plenty to do because, I don't want you to bring more than two or three projects, guys. I mean, I can't handle, we get 100 projects in this thing, we're not going to get through them. So just pick something that you like and maybe something that interests you. You know, we don't have to bail out of it. You know, if you've got this development urge, maybe you want to do that. Which, incidentally, I'll be happy to work with you after we get it rezoned, but we'll have to discuss that individually. All right, any other? We're still on land. We haven't even got the buildings yet, so who's got any more land questions?
Yeah, Ron, this is Terry Camargo here from Louisville,
yes.
Kentucky. I just got one quick question. We have a lot of land around here that is that's for sale, but it's got a lot of woods on it. Is that a consideration that we have to take in when we're looking at land, whether it needs to be cleared or?
I think you're going to find in most lands got woods on it.
Okay.
14
great,
acres
great.
I bought is nothing but woods.
Okay.
There is no vacant area on it. In fact, I tried to walk into it, and I got 10 feet, and I said, the hell with this. I turned around, I ain't getting back in here. And I'll never go back to it again either. And then I got another parcel that's parcel woods and parcel land. I don't care what's on the land.
Okay,
doesn't
great.
Matter.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? All right, then let's move to income-producing property. Because we are definitely going to go through all kinds of that. And I am thrilled to work with you on those as well. So income producing means that some tenant is renting some kind of space. And that could be, mobile home parks. It could be self-storage. It could be apartments, especially smaller apartments, because I got Lance Edwards coming. And by the way, Lance Edwards is looking for both small apartments and large apartments. He's got this fund that he's got to buy apartments with, and he's looking hard for them. So any kind of apartment project that you've got anywhere should be brought in under one condition, and that is that it has a problem. If it does not have a problem, ladies and gentlemen, we're not interested in it. Now, that problem could be a lot of vacancy. It could be repairs. It could be vacancy and repairs. Could just be mismanaged, but we just aren't interested in any income-producing property where they're asking retail price. And believe me when I tell you, just like houses, that's most of them. So our job, find properties with problem, fix problem, and sell property without problem, just like we do when we renovate houses. That's how we make money. Fortunately, they're easy to sell once the income is stabilized. Once the property's in good shape and rented up, well, it's an easy sale because there's so much money chasing deals out there right now from all over the world. And that's assuming you want to sell. And I'm going to try to talk you out of that because there's, you get an apartment complex and you get it turned around. Got to look at hard to determine whether you want to sell or not when you can literally borrow most of the equity out of it and keep it and non-recourse. And by the way, when we talk about buildings, don't get turned off because you think you need a bunch of credit and a big bank statement and a lot of wealth and big financial statement, all that. That's just not true. Why don't you let me handle that for you? Right now, you just focus on bringing in some properties with a problem. So I'll look at apartments. I like mobile home parks. Got a couple of them. I like self-storage. I like, I like retail. But please, no hotels. I really don't want to talk too much about properties that are really a business. You bring a hotel, you're not real estate, you're in a business. That requires management, and I'd rather keep it simple. I'm trying to get you guys acclimated to the world of commercial, but if we start talking about complicated stuff or too big of stuff, you're not going to be interested in moving forward. But I want some smaller deals that we can buy and manage, so don't bring me any $20 million office building somewhere that is in pretty good shape. In fact, write this down. Any income-producing property where they are asking a 10 cap or less is a waste of time. That means 10 cap. I'm going to teach you what capitalization rate means. The lower the cap rate they're asking, the closer to retail price they are. So there's a lot of properties out there right now at a 6 and a 7 cap. Don't waste time on them. That's retail or retail plus. Now, I don't blame them. You know, if I bought the property and I wanted to sell it, I'd put the price as high as I think the market can bring, wait for somebody to come along and buy it too. But that's not what we're looking for, guys. We're looking for properties with problems. Now, that problem doesn't necessarily have to mean that it's in terrible condition, but it does have to mean that there's something that's got to be fixed to turn that thing around. And it's usually vacancy, and usually that's caused by the owner not taking care of it and doing proper repairs on it. There's a property information sheet on income-producing properties as well at ronlegrand.com/CPIS. CPIS, Commercial Property Information Sheet. They're all right there, so drag them down. It'll be the same one in your book. And same thing. If you want to bring me an income-producing project, you got to fill in the blanks because I got to have the numbers. And, of course, I'm going to be looking for, okay, here's what the numbers are now. Now, what would they be if we get it in shape, rent it out, get it stabilized, and then I'll teach you how to know what the value is once that's done. You do not need an appraisal on an income-producing property because they're all valued by the math. So I got to teach you that math and show you a few tricks that many people ignore that they learn in seminars in the School of Hard Knocks. So if it's income-producing, and if there is no cap rate advertised, that means it's probably got a problem. Because you can't have cap rate is determined by the net operating income. So when there is no net operating income, there is no cap rate. So that's a good thing. We like properties with no cap rate. So anything under 10, I don't want it. I really don't want it. Just because I'm telling you, you're wasting our time on it. All right. So I got to have the facts back there, and I want photos. Don't bring me an income-producing property where I can't even tell what I'm looking at. And all this stuff is right online, easy access. And again, any income-producing property that's advertised or on the market by FSBO or MLS should have the numbers with it. Now, that's not always the case. For example, I'm looking at one today here in Jacksonville. It's a bankruptcy situation, totally vacant. Okay, I'm not going to get any numbers from anybody. Bankruptcy courts don't have them, wouldn't turn them loose if they did, and there's no seller. So, and we got to go collect those facts ourselves. But actually, that's a good thing because that means less people are going to be interested in it. And there's less people chasing it, and it's a cheaper price. So I got to have the financials. So if you come with this project and you cannot tell me what's it producing now in income and what the operating costs are, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And then you also got to be able to tell me by looking at some comps maybe or what's going on in the area, okay, if this thing were stabilized, you know, what kind of rents would it produce? So in other words, what kind of projected net operating income can we put on it? And determine what we think the R will be after we turn it around. So all the facts you can collect, and fortunately most of them are posted right online for you. And if they aren't, they aren't. That's not a reason not to bring it. But I just want you to know, stay away from the retail properties. When you're out making all cash offers on houses, you're not even talking to anybody that wants retail price for the house. Hey, same thing here. Let me see where that's at. Okay, there's also other types of properties like single-use properties, like restaurants or retail centers that are closed up or things like that. By the way, if you see any big boxes that are closed, like an old Kmart or whatever, and they're on the market, bring those because they make excellent self-storage units, and we'll talk about those as well. All right, again, go on the web. Find what you can find. LoopNet is a must. And in fact, let's say you're targeting our mobile home parks, for example. They got websites just for mobile home parks. They got websites just for any kind of property that you want. So just do a little bit of a search and see what you can find and bring them to class, and I'll take it from there. Okay. Any questions on income-producing property now? Remember, you got to hit *6 to open it up to talk to me. Nobody? All right. Let me figure out how to open it up again myself. Okay. Somebody got a question? All right, let me see what happens here. Okay, you're all unmuted now. Anybody want to hit me with a question before we get off?
I had a question about the land again.
Yes.
Let's say it's in an area where there's apartment buildings. There's nothing there. You know, there's a lot where you could build an apartment building, but it's already zoned for apartments, but it needs to be built. Is there anything we could do with that?
Well, that depends on what their asking price is and how close is it to retail price. And that would only be of interest to you if you actually wanted to build apartments on it.
Build it.
We can't, like, just sell it to someone who will do the building.
Well,
of
so
it?
You want to pay retail? You want to pay retail price and try to sell it for more than retail price?
No, I want to sell it for cheaper than retail. It's not for sale; they're just sitting there.
Well, that means you got to buy it cheaper than retail, doesn't it?
Right.
So the first thing you ought to do is investigate what you think it is really worth. And by the way, any commercial broker can give you these answers on what they think is worth, even if it's not listed. Well, I imagine the first thing you'd want to do is find out who owns it and enter a conversation about what they want for it.
Okay, do we know how to do that?
Well,
I guess the tax.
The owner of any property in your city is on public record. You look at the city tax rolls and you find the owner and you track them down. Or you can use a Deal Machine app that I told you about earlier.
Okay.
And so there's no sign on this property, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, I would guess, and I don't know this, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that land wouldn't be owned by the apartment owners that built next door.
Uh-huh.
And they're holding on that to add too, but you don't know till you check it. Okay, no problem going on public records and seeing who the owner is. So if you see that owner is some big LLC, it looks like they build stuff, you know, you're wasting your energy.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Don't even bother to try to talk to them.
But, yeah, I'm going to teach you how to chase what looks like prospects and quit spending a lot of time on dead-end, worthless deals.
But
be careful you don't fall in the habit of not doing anything because you think it's retail price. You have no idea until you talk to the owner.
So apartment buildings, if it looks like it's burned out, you know, they had a fire, there's nothing there.
Bring them.
Versus what? Okay, so
bring
those
them.
Are potentially good.
Bring them. Yes.
Okay.
We don't know if it's good until we get the facts, do we? But we have evidence that the thing is going to go really cheap, and we'll find that out real quick, won't we?
Oh, okay. Like fast foods that are, you know, just sitting there, nothing's happening, or a restaurant, you just track down the owner and see what you can do. And
you mean with no sign in front of it? Because usually they have a sign in front if they're for sale. But honestly,
right? I mean, yeah.
Of all the things that you can do, that's probably the least productive. Because people who have restaurants built and they go vacant, usually they're not motivated to sell much. And sometimes they let them sit there as long as they need to get the kind of tenant they want. But there's plenty of those around. But
so
it never hurts to ask, does it?
What's the best thing for us to look for then?
Well, I just spent 40 minutes going over all of that.
Yeah, I know.
I want land projects and any income-producing project that looks like it's got a problem.
Okay. Well,
and you're on the right track.
Isn't that a restaurant or a fast food place that's just sitting there vacant? No?
Well, it can be. But if you bring me that fast food place and you don't have all the facts on it, what am I going to say?
Well, I'll have to get the facts.
I'm going to say go home and do your homework.
Yeah, well, I can do
that. I'm more interested in multiple tenant occupied buildings of any kind. Or, as I said, even mobile home parks or even RV parks or anything that has multiple tenants. I'm less interested in anything that has one tenant.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. Any more questions?
Ron?
All right. Yes.
This is Linda. I have a question. There's a property that has no zoning. Does that mean you can put any zoning in there you want?
Where are you at? Texas?
Texas.
Because that most a lot of areas in Texas doesn't have any zoning. And that's true.
And
okay.
The second part of it is
bring it.
It has an
bring it anyway. Bring it anyway if you have any reason to believe there's some kind of a motivation there, or you know some reason for us to get some kind of a deal on it, or even anything you know about it. Bring it. Again, it doesn't hurt to bring this stuff, guys, because we're going to whack a lot of people. And that's
Can
how you learn.
Another question.
Yeah. Sure.
The total, it's only 3 acres, and it has a house on it.
Yes.
But it has now some, I think it has 3 RV spaces, and I was thinking it might be developed. But the house is a dome house. Is that a problem?
What's a dome house?
Well, the geodesic, you know, where it's...
Well, you know what? Okay, look, you are on the right track. I'm glad you brought that up, guys. Be really on the lookout for houses that are on large tracts of land. Oh, I love those. Got one right now, 29-acre parcel, got a house on it. Obviously, we're going to buy the whole thing. In fact, our contract, got a contract on it for the whole thing. And then we can always sell off the house anytime we want and have that go toward the rest of the land. And sometimes the house will pay off the rest of the land. Of course, the whole goal here is to rezone the rest of the land and see what its highest and best use is, just like I said. So I've done several deals with houses on large tracts of lands. So, yeah, bring that. But the one you mentioned, you see, the only thing that bothers me about the one you mentioned is, okay, so it's got an ugly house on it, but then it's only 2 acres beyond that. There might be a deal there, but isn't it just as easy to work on making more money than that little bit of money you're going to make on that property?
Well, that's just...
Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does not hurt to bring it.
Okay.
All right. Anybody else? Going once? Going twice? All right. Guys, I promise you when you get to Florida, the weather's going to be beautiful. You would not believe how beautiful the weather is out here today. We're in the 60s. It is gorgeous. And if you live in the north, you're probably not going to want to go back home. So prepare for it. And I'll see you in Jacksonville. And, again, keep in touch with the staff if you want to add a guest. We have to know before they come. See you soon and bring lots of leads. Thanks for getting on the call today.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
Is this thing still going on? Hey, step away for a second. Is the conference call over?
Thank you.